I wanted to share a little bit this morning about keep going to Him. Now, you ask, who is the Him? That Him is God. And I want to, just going to go through some records on three in the Old Testament specifically, these great men that just kept going to God for answers that they needed. They needed reassurance, and God reassured them. They needed assurance, and God assured them that what He said He was going to do, He would do. So we're going to look at a few scriptures here before we get to those records. And the first one is in Ephesians chapter 2. And in verse 19, Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 19, it says, "Now therefore, you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God." We are fellow citizens with each other. We're in God's household. Doesn't matter when you got in the Word, if you got in the Word 2 seconds ago, or if you got in 100 years ago. We all have the same citizenship, and we all have the same ability to go to God, and God will take care of us. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 11, it says, "According to the eternal purpose which He purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of Him." We have that boldness. We are allowed to go to God boldly for the things we want, for the things He has given us in His Word. The boldness means the freedom in speaking to God. We can go to God at any time and freely speak to Him, and He's going to answer us. He's going to take care of our every need. Go to Romans chapter 12. We don't have to go to God sheepishly and feel like He doesn't want to do for us, that He doesn't want to perform for us. Because we're fellow citizens. We're in His household. He wanted us. And now He wants to do for us. In Romans 12, verse 12, says, "Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer." God wants us to pray to Him. He wants us to instant means a constant and diligent perseverance, and that we faint not. And in the working translation, He has it as, "Give persistent attention to prayer." So God wants us to talk to Him. He wants our fellowship, and we need His fellowship. In Philippians chapter 4, Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Oh, the little guy's crying.
Yeah.
Sounds cute. Philippians 4, verse 6. We all know this verse, and we love it, right? It says, "And be careful," which means what?
Anxious.
Anxious for
nothing.
"But in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto" who?
God.
God wants us to make our requests unto Him, and He doesn't want us to be anxious. The world would have us to be very anxious. You know, you just turn on the news, and it'll set you off right away, if you let it. But that's why we have to continue to go to God's Word and do what He says. Be careful. Be anxious for nothing. That anxiousness is, you get worked up about something that might not ever happen. But that's what the world wants us to do. You know, it provides plenty of stuff for that to happen. So we're not to be anxious, but we're to go to Him. But in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So We're not to be anxious. We're not to get tricked by the world to be anxious, to get, you know, get all worked up about the things in the world. Look at 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 2. And verse 4 says, "No man that warreth," which means, warreth means serves, "no man that wants to serve in the household, in God's family, entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." Entangleth means to be braided in. God doesn't want us to be braided in with the crap that the world has. Where is it? "That he may please him." And that's what we want to do too. We want to please God by not getting him braided in with the world, and not being anxious, and not being confused, and just distracted from God and his word. In 1 Samuel chapter 23, we're going to look at the first record of David. And just how he checked in with God a lot. You know, that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to check in with him to see, you know, if we're in a situation, whether it's good or bad, or we can handle it, we can't handle it, whatever. He wants us to check with him. But in chapter 23, verse 1, it says, "Then they told David, saying, Behold, the Philistines fight against Keilah." Is that right? "And they rob the threshing floors. Therefore, David inquired of the Lord, saying, Shall I go and smite these Philistines? And the Lord said unto David, Go and smite the Philistines and save Keilah. And David's men said unto him, Behold, we be afraid here in Judah. How much more then if we come to Keilah against the armies of the Philistines? Then David inquired of the Lord again, yet again. And the Lord answered him and said, Arise, go to Keilah, for I will deliver the Philistines into thine hand. So David and his men went to Keilah and fought with the Philistines and brought away their cattle and smote them with a great slaughter. So David saved the inhabitants of Keilah." So there, you know, I just thought that was a beautiful record of God. Can I, you know, can I do this? My guys don't know. God said, go ahead, save the day. And he saved the day. In 1 Samuel 30, here's David again. We'll start in verse 1. This is my all-time favorite record. "And it came to pass when David and his men, they were out fighting battles, and they were stationed, their home base was in a place called Ziklag." It's not like Oz or anything like that. It's a real city. "But it came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire. And had taken the women captives that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire. And their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captive." Here you go, you're going, you know, you're fighting battles, you come to your home base, and you come there, and it's burned, it's gone, it's total, and there's no life there. Your wives are gone. Your wife's gone. Your kids are gone. I mean, that's a heavy situation. Yeah. Did I read verse 3?
Yep.
Let's read it again. "So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep." That's sorrow. That's a bad situation. They wept until they had no more power to weep. And David, verse 5, and David's two wives were taken captives. Hinnom, the Jezreelitess, and Abigail, the wife of Nabal, the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him. So how's that? Your city's burned, your wife, your family's gone, there's nothing left. And then the guys that were with you, they're like looking at you sideways, like, hey, you know, if it wasn't for us following you around, we would have been here to protect our families. So they spoke of stoning him because the soul of all the people was grieved. Every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David, now look, this is just beautiful. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. He encouraged himself in his father, in his God. It's just beautiful. Verse 7. And David said unto, Abithar. The priest, Amalek's son, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod. And Abithar brought thither the ephod to David. And David inquired at the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him. He didn't hesitate. He asked God. He didn't go to God sheepishly. He went to God and just asked him, what can I do? What am I doing here? And he answered him, pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all. So, we'll pick it up in verse 17. But look at what God told him. I mean, is that assurance? Mm-hmm. You will surely overtake them. I mean, that's awesome. Verse 17, is it? And David smote, they wound up meeting up with the Amalekites. And David smote them from the twilight even unto the evening of the next day. And there escaped not a man of them, save 400 young men, which rode upon camels and fled. They hightailed it out of there. And David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away. And David rescued his two wives, and there was nothing lacking to them, neither small nor great, neither sons nor daughters, neither spoil, neither nor anything that they had taken to them. David recovered all. You know, it's just, it amazes me how, you know, confident he was that he went to God and God told him, and he carried out what God told him. You know, he could have said, well, wait a minute, you know, I don't know. You know, that army's pretty big and blah, blah, blah. But he didn't get distracted from what God told him. And well, that's in Samuel, that's what God's viewpoint. No, that's man's viewpoint. If you read the record in Chronicles, I think it's like in around 1 Chronicles 12, you know, in Samuel it shows the emotion of man. They cried, and they cried their eyes out till they had no more tears. But then God's outlook of the whole thing was David went in, God is, you know, took care of everything, and that was it. You know, to God it was no big deal. You know, pretty awesome. We're going to read a little bit about Gideon now in Judges. Judges chapter 6. Judges 6 and we will start in verse 11. Judges 6:11. And there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak, which was Oprah's oak. Which was Ophrah, right? Mm-hmm. Ophrah, not Oprah. That pertained unto Joash the Abizarite. Please bear with me with the word, with the names. And his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. The Midianites were another army that wanted to attack the Israel. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And Gideon said unto him, whoa, wait a minute. O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all the miracles which our fathers told of us, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. And the Lord looked upon him and said, go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent thee? And he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. And the Lord said unto him, surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. Look at the way God just reassured this guy Gideon. You know, he was doubting from, you know, at the get-go. You know, what's going on? Where's all the things we saw that our fathers saw before us? Why are these bad things happening? And God just kept reassuring them. Go to verse 33. And says, then all the Midianites and the Amalekites and the children of the east were gathered together and went over and pitched in the valley of Jezreel. But the spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, and he blew a trumpet, and Abiezer was gathered after him. And he sent his messengers throughout all Manasseh, who also was gathered after him, and he sent messengers unto Asher and unto Zebulun and unto Naphtali, and they came up to meet him. And Gideon said unto God, if thou wilt save Israel by mine hand, as thou hast said, behold, I will put a fleece of wool in the floor, and if the dew be on the fleece only, and it be dry upon all the earth besides, then shall I know that thou wilt save Israel by my hand, as thou hast said. And God told him, hey, I ain't doing all of that stuff for you. You just listen to what I'm telling you. No, but look at the way God worked with him. And it was so, for he rose up early on the morrow and thrust the fleece together and wringed the dew out of the fleece, a bowl full of water. God did that for him, just so he could be assured in his heart that, you know, God was going to do what he said he would do. But our minds get in the way, and Gideon needed a little more assurance. Verse 39, and Gideon said unto God, let not thine anger be hot against me, and I will speak but this once. Let me prove, I pray thee, but this once with the fleece. Let it now be dry only upon the fleece, and upon all the ground let there be dew. And God did so that night, for it was dry upon the fleece only, and there was dew on all the ground. God did that for this guy, you know? He just wanted his heart assured that he was going to do what he said he would do. And then if we go to chapter 7, in verse 13, we'll see the outcome of this whole thing. Verse 13, and when Gideon was come, behold, there was a man that told a dream unto his fellow and said, behold, I dreamed a dream, and lo, a cake of barley bread tumbled into the host of Midian and came unto a tent and smote it that it fell and overturned it, and the tent lay along. And his fellow answered and said, this is nothing else save the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, the man of Israel. For into his hand hath God delivered Midian and all the hosts. And it was so, when Gideon heard the telling of the dream and the interpretation thereof, that he worshipped and returned into the host of Israel and said, arise, for the Lord hath delivered into your hand the host of Midian. And he divided the 300 men into three companies. He took 300 men with him to go fight these guys. He divided them into three companies, and he put a trumpet in every man's hand with empty pitchers and lamps within the pitchers. And he said unto them, look on me and do likewise, and behold, when I come to the outside of the camp, it shall be that as I do, so shall ye do. When I blow the trumpet, I and all that are with me, then blow ye the trumpets also on every side of the of all the camp, and say, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. So Gideon and the 100 men that were with him came unto the outside of the camp in the beginning of the middle watch, and they had but newly set the watch. And they blew the trumpets and brake the pitchers that were in their hands, and the three companies blew the trumpets and brake the pitchers and held the lamps in their hands and the trumpets in their right hands to blow withal. And they cried, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. And they stood every man in his place round about the camp, and all the host ran and cried and fled. So God told him that he would take care of this thing, and God did that for him. And Gideon saved the day. All because, you know, he believed what God said he would do. Go to 1 John chapter 5. First John 5:14. This is what we have today for us. It says, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us, he heareth us. And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. We can go to God at any time and ask our petitions of him, because he called us to his family. He's the one he wants to perform for us. He wants to do for us. Go to James. James chapter 1, verse 5. It says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him beg God for it.
No.
Let him ask of God that giveth to all men what? Liberally. And abradeth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. I got in mind picture of nothing wavering. Like, don't go to God sheepishly when you ask him for stuff. Don't waver. Just ask him for what you need. Find out what's available too in his word, for what, you know, what he has available to us. And he gives to all men liberally, bountifully. He doesn't hold back from us. In Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews 4, 14 through 16. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So, basically, all of this is saying that, you know, we can come to God boldly. We don't have to go to him sheepishly. We never have to be afraid of him. You know, we just have to go to his word and read his word and find out what's available to us and receive the benefits of believing it. So, amen.
Amen.